Welcome to Pro Basketball Today, episode 12. Today's date, January 12th, 2026. And let's begin with our starting lineup with Trae Young, someone that I talked about in the season premiere of Pro Basketball Today, having a lot of pressure on him if the Hawks are better without him, was officially moved by Atlanta last week in a trade to the Washington Wizards. In return, the Washington Wizards sent C.J. McCollum and Corey Kispert. Let's take this from both sides. First, with Atlanta. Atlanta wanted to control the narrative, not Trae. A polarizing figure, moving him early, the Hawks avoided a long, drawn-out saga with Trae. What it does is it opens up more offensive movement, more offensive flow, as if you will. You could look at the play of Dyson Daniels and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Alexander Walker, we'll talk about on our future focus. A front court of Ricochet and obviously Jalen Johnson with Porzingis or Okongwu at the center. It's more offensively balanced and less relying on hero ball. If you think about Trae, Trae's usage rate was anywhere between 34 and 36%, which put him in the top five in the NBA. Also note that the Hawks were in bottom 10 and what they call assist diversity. That means too much creation was based on one player. So the Hawks get C.J. McCollum, who can be used as maybe as compensation again because he has an expiring deal. But it's mainly Corey Kispert. That helps their bench. Let's go to the Wizards' side. They get a polarizing player in Trae Young. But we don't know when Trae's going to suit up. There's been talk that Trae may not suit up at all for Atlanta, for Washington this year. So right now, the Wizards could be in the tank, intact, with parking a high usage star. Remember this, folks. Washington's first-round draft pick is top eight protected to New York. So for them, it doesn't make sense for them to win at this point. Look for them to possibly move Chris Middleton or waive him after the deadline, and embrace the tank with a loaded 26 NBA draft. Right now, Trae Wizard isn't a wizard. He's a coupon. Washington didn't trade him to win games. They may have traded him to cash in later. Speaking of cash in, there may be time to cash out on the Dallas Mavs. Why? Anthony Davis is hurt again. And this time, it could be significant. There are reports that Anthony Davis is going to miss months, possibly, according to Shams Charania, with ligament damage in his left hand. He's going to get a second opinion to kind of see what is the time frame. This is happening at the worst possible time for a Dallas Mavericks team that I had high expectations for. You got to also remember that Derek Lively is already out for Dallas. So now you lose Lively and Anthony Davis. So what do you lose? You lose rim protection. Your two best shot blockers are now out maybe for months, maybe the rest of the year. We don't know what AD. Their vertical spacing, that what AD brings. Their defensive rebounding and a legit go-to 22 to 25-point-a-game score. So how does Dallas adjust? Now they're going to have to go to more of a small ball or a scheme defense schematically, which is not good for long stretches because teams are going to figure them out. AD value isn't just scoring, but defensively, he covers up mistakes. It doesn't just hurt Dallas now. They quietly have to reshape their long term because this is someone that they just can't depend on. The Mavs weren't built to contend the season, even with Kyrie being out potentially for most of the year. But injuries just exposed how thin of a margin they are. If Dallas slides to the standings, lottery math could become unavoidable. Anthony Davis isn't a luxury for Dallas. He's structural support. Without him and Lively, the Mavs aren't built to defend anyone in April. Better yet, January, February, or March either. Another player we have to start to watch now, possibly in trade talks, is Ja Morant. As the Grizzlies have decided that they're going to entertain possible trade offers for Ja Morant. And this is a Ja Morant that we know is such a polarizing figure. for the Memphis Grizzlies. And John Morant, that we have talked about a lot on this show. John Morant's value is still elite, in my opinion, despite his availability concerns. How about the fact that John Morant has missed 40% of the Grizzlies games the last 3 years? So he's not dependable. So now when you are a team like Memphis, a team that already fired your head coach, Taylor Jenkins, last year, you have to start to think about, with Ja, culture reset versus star retention. They got to pick a choice, Triple J or Ja. Someone's got to move. And the league is going to be watching this closely when a number of teams, and we're already hearing Minnesota Timberwolves could be involved for a player that has a career average of nearly 22.5 points per game, 7.4 assists, and the team has a 9.1 positive rating when Ja plays. If Memphis moves from Ja, it's not basketball panic. It's organizational survival. And with his lack of availability due to injuries and his off-court drama, it may be best for both parties to go in a different direction. On the injury front, another player that's injured again is Keegan Murray. A Keegan Murray that I had such high expectations of coming out of the University of Iowa is out, and he's out, according to Michael Scotto, for 3 to 4 weeks for an ankle sprain. This is a tough blow for a Kings team that has the third worst record in the NBA and only has 8 wins. Here is the problem with this. It's not that he's injured. It's the repeated interruptions to a young player that's going to kill his rhythm and his confidence. As they stretch four, they lose spacing at the three-point line. They also lose defensive versatility, a Kings team that really can't stop anyone. So now you look at a guy like Keegan Murray, and his development year is starting to turn into a rehab cycle. For a guy that's getting you 15 points a game, shooting 37% from three. Think about the Kings' offensive rating drops almost 5 points without him in the lineup, right? So when you look at Keegan Murray, he isn't regressing. His availability is, and that is an issue. A player that we've not seen this year or last year is Nikola Topic. Nikola Topic was, in my opinion, when I did the 2024 NBA draft, I had him rated as a top five player. He missed all of the season, which hurt his draft stock, obviously, with the knee injury. And then he had to deal with cancer and had chemotherapy. But now the treatments have been completed. And now, according to Bleacher Report, there's talk that he hopes to return to the G League and NBA soon. So I'm bringing this up about Nikola Topic because I want people to know, if you haven't seen him, what kind of player he could be. He's elite in the pick and roll, right? So very few empty possessions when he passes the ball at the point of attack. He's got the size at 6'6" to see if teams want to switch out on that pick and roll action. It keeps OKC's assist rate high, even when Shea isn't on the floor. But he could also be that second youth stabilizer, that pace controller. And now you could play ready alongside Shea and maybe even Jalen Williams and an unbelievable three-guard lineup. There's no pressure on Nikola Topic except to leave the second unit whole if he comes back. And when he does that on a contender, it's basically like making a trade in February without touching the roster. Coming up next, we'll get into our future focus. We're looking at the Phoenix Suns playing great basketball, winners of 8 of the last 10. The Milwaukee Bucks, what are they going to do? Should they get rid of Giannis or keep him? Nickeil Alexander-Walker playing really well for Atlanta. And Denny Avdija, who's having a great year with Portland. We'll be back for our future focus after this commercial break. Well, Welcome back to Pro Basketball Today, episode 12, and it's time to get into our future focus, leading off with the Valley of the Sun. The Red Hot Suns are playing exceptional basketball, winners of 8 out of the last 10 games. And when you think about the Phoenix Suns, it's not about streaks. It's about role clarity. They finally figured out, especially around Devin Booker, how to stack their minutes. The play of Dylan Brooks has been absolutely fantastic coming over in the trade from Houston. Grayson Allen has been the goods when he doesn't do dirty plays. Their defense is quietly stabilized, especially in late game possessions. Think about that big win that had over the Thunder last week. They're no longer chasing perfection. They're chasing repeatable habits. And repeatable habits is what helps you win in this league. This version of Phoenix Suns team will travel in the playoffs. There's less variance. They play close to the vest. There'll be less fewer blown leads. And their ceiling is still elite if their health stays there. The hot take is, Matt Ishbia may have been right. I was definitely wrong. Let's see if Phoenix can hold up, because if they can, they're going to be a really fun story to watch in the Western Conference for the rest of the way. Let's head to the East, where we have to have this Milwaukee Bucks conversation again. What are they going to do for Giannis? When will it get help for Giannis? How will it get help for Giannis? And if the help is coming, what do they do? Here's the problem. The Bucks are out of runway. They're not in rebuilding mode. They're not in reloading mode. They're in reacting mode. And that's a dangerous spot to be in the NBA. Look at this team. They lack true athletic depth. They don't have defensive flexibility. They don't have enough ball stoppers. They've lost that ever since they traded Drew Holiday, who was, I think, is one of the best defensive guards in this generation. And they have no assets. So when you look at Milwaukee with Giannis, every season without a clear plan shrinks their leverage. So now their future is in the middle of the road. There's a fork. What do? They either push all their chips in and build around Giannis, or they reset before the market forces your hand. Half-cost measures cost superstars, and right now it is costing the Milwaukee Bucks. There's a decision that needs to be made. And it's not a Giannis decision. It's an organizational decision on where they want to see themselves in the future. Someone with a great future is Nickeil Alexander-Walker. The free agent went to Atlanta and has been the goods. He started off coming off the bench, but with Trae Young getting injured and then now being moved to Washington, he moved into the starting lineup, with Dyson Daniels moving from the two to the point. Well, right now, Nickeil Alexander-Walker is having a career year. If you look at this sample size, right, 20.6 points per game, 3.6 rebounds, 3.63 assists. During this run, this isn't about being a fluke, because he's not a fluke. It's about role plus trust plus reps. Opportunity. When you're prepared, you're ready for it. And he's ready for it. He guards multiple positions. He shoots well enough from three to stay on the floor on both sides of the ball. He doesn't hijack possessions just because he's a catch-and-shoot kind of guy and he makes smart decisions. So what does he hold for this Atlanta team? He's got one of the best contracts in the league. He's a lock to be in their rotation. And this is the type of player that contenders steal series with. You look at Nickeil Alexander-Walker, and he's like a Josh Hart. We'll talk about next segment. Different player in regards to he's a better shooter than Josh, but the way he impacts the game is something that's undeniable. Secretly, Atlanta is building something. I have challenged this team, just like I've challenged Chicago in the past, just like I challenged Milwaukee earlier in this segment and in the past. I challenge teams in this league to not just stay with the status quo. Make moves. Take chances. Find guys that maybe be undervalued in one place that can be valued in your place. No better example the last 5 years is Jalen Brunson going to the Knicks. Nickeil Alexander-Walker is that kind of guy. He's impacting his team. You want to talk about impact his team and guys finding opportunities and meeting them by being prepared? What about Denny Avdija? Denny has been absolutely fantastic this year for Portland, putting up all-star caliber stats, efficient, creating, rebounding, 26 points per game, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists. If you think about it, he's one of the league leaders in assists for a forward while providing significant scoring rebounding. If we're talking about guys that have stepped their games up, and you talk about Alexander Walker, he is like the Jalen Johnson of the Western Conference. This is a career best level of production. A massive jump from previous years. And the sort of all-around game you're expecting from a primary option from a winning team. But he does more. He defends. Early decision offensively. Rebounds. Passes the ball. Modern forward who scales up in big games. So it's an interesting part for Denny. Does Portland move him and become an unbelievable complimentary piece for a contender? Or does he become the cornerstone from an upstart franchise who is so undervalued in this modern day NBA? If he gets moved, Denny's the type of player teams realize they need one round too late. Coming up after this commercial break, we'll get into the fastest 4 minutes of NBA talk. We'll talk about Josh Hart returning to the Knicks. Aaron Gordon coming back for the Nuggets. Rock is dealing with injuries. Devin Booker being that dude. And a buzzer beater on the WNBA as this negotiation drags on. We'll be back with the Final Four and a buzzer beater after this commercial break. Welcome back to Pro Basketball Today, Episode 12. And it's time to get into the fastest 4 minutes of Pro Basketball Talk, and that's your Final Four. Leading off with the Energizer Bunny has returned. Josh Hart has returned to the Knicks lineup, and he couldn't come any fast enough for a Knicks team that's been up and down since going out with an ankle injury. In his first game back in that win versus Portland a couple of nights ago, think about this. Josh Hart was in his usual self. 31 minutes, 18 points, 6 assists, 2 steals. And if you think about what Josh Hart is, he instantly raises effort, rebounding, and defensive versatility for a Knicks team. A Knicks team that didn't snap back into place as soon as he stepped on the floor. Doesn't need plays called, just minutes. The Knicks are almost 8 to 10 points plus net rating when Hart is active. Elite rebounder for his position. When Josh Hart is there, the Knicks have their identity. And now they're back to being one of the best teams in the NBA. Speaking of returning, Aaron Gordon has returned to the lineup for the Denver Nuggets. Aaron Gordon, in his first game back, 32 minutes, 23 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and doing what Aaron Gordon does. I don't think people understand the importance that Aaron Gordon has to Denver. He is a defensive glue, tough guy, doesn't need the ball in his hands to create. And he allows Denver to guard elite wings without help chaos, meaning he can keep them in front. Denver's defense improves dramatically when a person of his ability is there. Aaron Gordon isn't optional for Denver. He's structural, and they are happy to have them back. Well, there are some other injuries that are known in the Western Conference. Let's head to Houston, where they're dealing with the injuries of both Alperen Şengün and Tari Eason. I've talked about the greatness of Şengün, who's going to be out for about 2 weeks with an ankle injury. That's according to Ime Udoka through Yahoo Sports. Şengün's injury just kills the offensive flow of Houston. Eason, the other side, is their point of attack defense. So he's such a strong defender. So Houston is losing their identity on both sides of the ball with those two guys being out. Obviously, Şengün giving you 21 points, 9 rebounds a game, is a guy that I think was, I called the mini Joker when he came out of for the NBA draft and was having a phenomenal season. Be interesting to watch Houston as they deal with these injuries. Houston injuries didn't expose their talent. They just exposed how important the balance of this organization is, even with Kevin Durant. Let's get back to Phoenix for a minute. Because Devin Booker has been that dude. You know what I mean by that dude? That dude that just carries you offensively. That dude that's got the volume to shoot and create. The guy that's the alpha dog when chaos hits and you need a basket. The guy's getting you 25.3 points per game, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. Right? When it's late in the game, the Suns deliver. They ask him to deliver late. Think about that 3-pointer that he hit versus the Thunder last week. In this late stretch, he's getting you 30 points per game and shooting it at a tremendous rate. It's so interesting to watch this team because, like I said, I just didn't have a strong feeling for them. But this guy has changed the narrative of my thought of Phoenix. You think about Devin Booker. This isn't a hot streak. This is Devin Booker reminding everyone, actually, how good he is. Let's get to the buzzer beater. Let's talk a little WNBA. So we've been monitoring this, the whole labor negotiations with the WNBA, and they kind of gave a little bit of an extension. But that extension has passed. So taking a look at some news that's come out, is the WNBA and its players union failed to reach a new collective bargaining agreement by last Friday's deadline, and now the league enters a status quo period with no extension reached. So now becomes the statement of flux. Where do we go from here? It's obvious that the WNBA Players Association has drawn their line in the sand. They feel that they are not getting what they are worth. The WNBA is giving them more money, but it's not enough. And there's other things that need to be worked out, including how do you deal with free agency now if there's no deal? The WNBA is at a crossroads. And if they don't get this right and fix this and not have a lockout or strike, I don't know how they recover from this. This has been Pro Basketball Today, episode 12 for January 12th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app, pregame, in-game, postgame, prop predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Matty George, who always does a fantastic job, thanks for listening, folks. And please remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.